Okay, what we're going to learn today is a totally new take on the entire Chag of Sukkot, and it's from Rav Kook. And what we're going to start out with is a general overview, something very, very important regarding a lot of ramifications. Chevra, every situation is based on a who, what, and where. Right? When I say that Maya learns in Midrash at Moria, okay, Maya is the who, what is she learns, where, Midrash at Moria, right? I live in Kol Chav HaShachar, who, what, and where. Now, if every situation is comprised of a who, a what, and a where, and that infers that the ideal situation is going to be the ideal who, the ideal what, and the ideal where. Now, if you look at just about any perek in Tanakh, you will see that who is the ideal who? Who is the heroes of the Tanakh? Well, it starts with Am Yisrael, the Jewish people, or in Hebrew, Am Yisrael. If I look up also in just about every perek of Tanakh, where is the ideal where? Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel. And then, if I want to know what should Am Yisrael be doing in Eretz Yisrael, the answer is Torat Yisrael. And this is a famous triangle. Maybe you've heard of it before. Am Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, and Torat Yisrael. But now you're beginning to understand where it comes from. Because it is the ideal who? Am Yisrael. The ideal what? Torah Yisrael. And the ideal where? Eretz Yisrael. Now, if I look at the three different types of Kiddusha, there are three different types of holiness in the world. One is Kiddushat Adam, Kiddushat Makom, and Kiddushat Zaman. Here also, you'll notice that Kiddushat Adam, the holiness of person, is Am Yisrael. Kiddushat Adam. Kiddushat Makom is Eretz Yisrael. Kiddushat Makom, that's the holy place. This is people who are holy. And Kiddushat Zman is what to do with your time. What do we do with our time? We do Torat Yisrael. That is how we make our time holy. So that is Kiddushat Zman. The same thing, just like with everything, there are different levels, right? When you buy a plane ticket, right? There's business class, economy class, bring your own seat. You go buy eggs, there is large, extra large, jumbo, medium. The same thing, there are different levels of Kiddushah. For example, in Kiddushat Adam, one of the Shvatim within Am Yisrael is in a higher level of Kiddushah. What am I talking about? Levi. And even within Kiddushat Levi, Shevet Levi, there is a higher level. The Kohanim. Going good. Keep going. And within the Kohanim, who is the highest level? The Kohen Gadol. Okay? So the Kohen Gadol is the epitome of Kiddushat Adam, a holy person. The same thing with Kiddushat Makom. There are different levels of Kiddushah within Eretz Yisrael. You all know that every step in Eretz Yisrael is holy, but there is a level which is holier. What's the higher level? Yerushalayim. And within Yerushalayim, there's a higher level? The Old City. And within the Old City, there's a higher level? The Kotel. And even higher than the Kotel? Harabayit. And on Harabayit, there's the Mikdash. And on the Mikdash, where's the holiest place? Kodesh HaKodeshim. Okay, so Kodesh HaKodeshim is the epitome of Kiddushat Eretz Yisrael. The same thing with Kiddushat Zaman. There are a lot of holy days in the year, but I'm sure you learned, what is the highest of all the holy days? Yom Kippur. And I could tell from some of your faces that when the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadashim once a year on Yom Kippur, That is a meeting of the climax of the highest type of Kedushat Adam, Kedushat Makom, and Kedushat Zman of Am Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, and Torat Yisrael. In other words, it's not religious Zionism or Rav Kook who invented the triangle. This is Judaism. By the way, the same thing if somebody wants to become a prophet. It's always good to shoot high. If you want to be a prophet, the Kuzari tells us, we don't have time to see it inside, in source number 2, that there are 3 criterion. You can take an educated guess. What are the 3 criterion that if I want to become a Navi, a prophet, I have to fulfill? What are the 3 criterion? First of all, you have to be Jewish, right? Only Jews get Nivua. Okay, well, first we have to ask, what about Bilam? Because I'll say, Bilam wasn't Jewish. And they answer that the Goyim were complaining that if you would give us prophecy, we would also be like the Jewish people. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, let's try it out. And he gave him Bilam, and he cursed, and the rest is history. You also, Ricky points out, you have to be in Eretz Yisrael to get Nevuah. Where do we learn that from? Dafka recently, we just read it.
Yonah.
In Sefer Yonah. Where Yonah, I remember as a little kid, my younger sister used to, when my mother would tell her something that she didn't want to hear, she would put her hands on her ears and say, I'm not listening. And that's what Yonah did. Now the thing is, God can put his words into your ear. So he thought of this idea, and he was correct. If I leave the land of Israel, I'll hop on a boat and leave the land of Israel, God cannot speak with me. Hashem decided there is only prophecy to Am Yisrael and in Eretz Yisrael. Now, all of us are Jewish. We all are in Eretz Yisrael. Has anybody here received prophecy yet? Probably not. Maybe the other day. Tell me about it. Why don't we get prophecy? Because we're not on a high enough level of Torat Yisrael. Okay? By the way, if a goy would do all of Torat Yisrael, and even if he's in Eretz Yisrael, say, Bedouin, he's not going to get prophecy because he's not Jewish. And the same thing, if a Jew could be the greatest tzaddik, right? The Rambam, the Chafetz Chaim, they lived in Chutz La'aretz, they're not going to get prophecy because they're not in Eretz Yisrael, because you need all 3 criterion. Yeah. Oh, the Gemara Masechet Ketuvot, ask your question. What about Avram? What about Moshe? What about Yechezkel? All 3 of them got prophecy in Chutz La'aretz. Answers the Gemara, that prophecy is either Ba or Ba'avura, either in the land of Israel or for the sake of Eretz Yisrael. What did Hashem tell Avraham? Go to Eretz Yisrael. What did Hashem tell Moshe? Go to Eretz Yisrael. What did Hashem tell Yechezkel? I will bring you back to Eretz Yisrael. Girls, you could be the greatest tzaddik in the world, but like the Kuzari says in Source 2, it's like growing vines. When you want to grow good grapes, you need 3 criterion. You need good land. You need a good vine, right? When Lord Rothschild started the Carmel Wine Company in Tafresh Membet, 1882, he brought in the best vines from France. And he looked for the best land, Zichron Yaakov, Rishon LeZion, he bought it. If you got money, you can do anything. And but the problem was the Chalutzim, they didn't know how to work the land. So he brought in specialists to teach them how to work. How much to water, how much to fertilize, how to prune, etc., etc. Girls, do you all see the mashal of the Kuzari? This is only in source number 2. Are you all with me? Do you see the mashal? Oh. No, so the work is Avodat Hashem. Avodat Hashem is the Torah. Right? If you don't know how to work, you're not going to grow anything. Similarly, you could take the best vine in the world, but if you plant it in Alaska, and it's not good land, it's not going to grow. The same thing, you could take the best land in the world, but if you don't have a good vine, and you don't know how to work it, it's not going to grow. In other words, you have to also, Am Yisrael comes from good stock. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, we come from a good vine. We also have the Holy Land, which is also conducive to prophecy. And we also know how to work. How do we know? Avodat Hashem, the Torah. Chevra, there are also three festivals. Shlosha Regalim. Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot. And Abarbanel, in source number one, asks, Lama yu regalim shalosh, lo pachot velo yoter? Why are there three festivals and not two and not four? And he answers, because everything in Judaism is Am Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, and Torah Yisrael. Take an educated guess. Pesach is the birthday of... Pesach is the birthday of Am Yisrael. Right? Is that is when we became a nation. Chag HaShavuot is when we received what? Torah Yisrael. This is Chag HaShavuot. And Sukkot is Eretz Yisrael. That's the topic of our shiur. Let's see it inside. Source number one. So the Abarbanel asks, why are there three festivals? V'omar besibat ze sheYisrael kiblu mi'Hashem yitbarach shlosha chasadim gedolim. God gave Am Yisrael three great gifts. V'im yitziat Mitzrayim, that's Pesach. He took us out of Egypt, gave us freedom. Number two, Matan Torah, that's Shavuot, he gave us the Torah. And number three, Yerushata Aretz, he gave us the land of Israel, which is Sukkot. Now, if you just look, even at first glance, there's a very clear connection between Sukkot and Eretz Yisrael, that they both have Kiddushat Makom. The Sukkah is a holy place. Eretz Yisrael is a holy place. And, you know, so that's for starters. But we're going to see it's a lot deeper than that. Okay? Let's look together on source number three. Tanu Rabbanan. Pri Etz Hadar. The fruit of the beautiful tree. Right? We're told in the Torah, in Parshat Amor, you should take on the first day of Sukkot four things. What is Pri Etz Hadar? What's it talking about?
The etrog.
Now in the Torah, it doesn't say etrog, it says the fruit of the beautiful tree. And Chazal asks, how do we know that the fruit of the beautiful tree is etrog? Tanu Rabbanan, pri etz hadar, etz shetam etzo upiryo shaveh. Source number three. The Gemara in Sukkot daf lamed hey tells us that it is the only tree that not only the fruit is good, but also the tree is good. Notice, it doesn't say you have to take the beautiful fruit. Pri Etz Hadar means the fruit of the beautiful tree. Yeah?
I learned last year when I was doing
Bereshit
with my
teacher
that
yeah.
It's when God is first creating like vegetation, the bark of the tree also tasted like the fruit.
Bingo. That is source number four.
But then, in order for trees to be able to, sustain and live long, they had to switch it so that way, humans wouldn't come to the actual tree.
Okay, that's one of the things that we're going to try and understand. Kevin, you know what? Even before we... What's your name?
Jenny.
Before I take Jenny's comment, can anybody tell me what's the real reason? How do we know that a pre-Etz Hadar is talking about an etrog and not talking about a kumquat or an avocado? What's the real reason? Yeah? Yafeh, there's a midrash that also says that the fruit that they ate from the forbidden fruit was an etrog who had the taste. It was the last remnant. It was the last remnant of the ideal world. Everybody remember the midrash that Jenny's talking about? Okay, but before we get there, I just want to strengthen the question. Chevra, the real reason, how do I know what is totafot? There's no word totafot. Vayu letotafot ben enecha. How did I know what to buy my son for his bar mitzvah? Because that's what my father bought me for my bar mitzvah. How did my father know what tefillin is? Because that's what his father bought him. And we are 131 generations from Har Sinai. It's not that many if you think about it. No, it's not that many. And every generation buys totafot for the next generation, and that's how we know what tefillin is. Totafot ben enecha. By the way, you could just Google afterwards Masada, tefillin Masada, and you will see that the tefillin that they found in Masada 2,000 years ago is the exact same tefillin that we have today. You could Google tefillin Dead Sea, because they also found 2,000-year-old tefillin from the Dead Sea. They're also the exact same boxes that my father bought me for my bar mitzvah and that I bought my son for his bar mitzvah. In other words, the real reason why I know that Pri Etz Hadar is talking about an etrog and not an avocado is because there's a Torah Shebaal Peh. That's the Masoret. That's tradition, right? Remember Tevye? Tradition. If so, that just makes it that much more weird if the Gemara tells us that there's another reason. Why? Because it's a tree that has the taste just like the fruit. In other words, it's pri oset pri. So there's something going on here. You know, if we would have time, I would go around and, you know, maybe we'll just do it quickly. I brought in a branch from a pri Etz Hadar. And let me just make sure that it didn't dry up. It's a special bracha that you make. And I'll just hold my breath. Pass it around. Chevra, you will smell that the smell of the citrus is actually found inside the tree. It has the citrus smell.
Wait, this is from an actual tree? Did you eat the other thing?
Don't eat it.
Oh, I thought you ate it.
Pass it around. Chevra, do not eat it. You can eat it after class, but it has a very, very bitter aftertaste. Yeah.
I have a weird.
Oh, it's not really.
I have a lot of tomatoes. I have a tomato plant in my backyard, and the plant smells like tomatoes.
The plant smells like tomatoes? I don't know, maybe because it's not a fruit. But it didn't grow in the Middle East in 3,300 years ago. That's an interesting question. And Davka, what Chazal are telling us, that makes it that much more interesting. Kevin, don't forget to make the bracha. Bore atzei b'samim. Do you smell the citrus taste? Okay. Kevra? If so, there must be some symbolism in the fact that the etrog is the last remnant of the original plan. Jenny mentioned in source number 4 that the original plan, Vatolzea Aretz Deshe, Avraot Sivui, that the original plan, Kevin, you're not supposed to leave during class. Sorry. It's for your good. You're not going to want to miss the punchline. Kevra? We mentioned that the original plan of the Torah was that Tadshei Ha'aretz Deshe Itz Pri Oseh Pri. God commanded, let there be light, and there was light. He said, let there be darkness, there was darkness. He said, let there be fruit trees that make fruit, and it didn't work. And the question is, what does that mean? I mean, the land doesn't have free will. But it must be significant that this is the only place in all of creation where the land, or anybody, didn't listen to God. Why? Because originally God said, let there be fruit trees that make fruit. Maha pri ne'echal afeitz ne'echal, source 4 from Yalkut Shimoni. Ve'hilo astake, ela vatotzei aretz deshe itz oseh pri. The land made trees that produce fruit. And again, what is the question? The question is that if the etrog is the last remnant from the ideal world, there must be some significant symbolism. especially when Chazal go out of their way to tell me that this is how I know that it's an etrog. But it's not the real reason. The real reason is because of tradition. But apparently there is some symbolism that the etrog symbolizes the ideal world. Okay? And that's what we're going to see. Chevra?
Why is there that idea that it symbolizes it?
Oh, well, that's the topic of the shiur.
No, I'm saying, like, where did you get, like
because in source 4, what we saw, that's the midrash that Jenny mentioned, you all learned it from Rashi, that the Hashem originally wanted there to be taste in the tree, just like in the fruit. But it didn't work. On the other hand, that is what is supposed to be. All trees are supposed to be like the etrog tree, where there is taste in the tree, just like the fruit.
So the other trees do this on the side of the etrog tree?
Correct. If so, what is the symbolism of the etrog? Chevra, let us get to the punchline. Let's look together in source number 11, where Rav Kook explains beautifully the symbolism of this idea. Orota tshuva perek vav piska zayin. Mitchilat habriya ra'uy hayatam ha'etz liyot gam hu kita'am piryo. The original plan, as we saw, was for there to be taste in the tree, just like in the fruit. Kol ha'emtza'im ha'machzikim ezo migama ruchanit gvoha klalit ראויים היו להיות מוחשים בחוש נשמתי באותו הגובה והנועם שעצם המגמה מורגשת פה. Rav Kook's Hebrew is very difficult. We'll explain. Chevra, the tree, when I plant a tree, an apple tree, the goal is to grow apples. When I plant an avocado tree, the goal is to grow avocado. The tree is just a means, and the fruit symbolizes the goal. If so, that strengthens a very strong question that any thinking person has asked. If you look at even the most fruitful tree in the world, I don't know if you people know, that if a tree is 3 meters tall, 20 feet tall, there are 20 feet of roots underground. You got 20 feet of roots underground. 20 feet of bark. You got a lot of feet of branches, a lot of leaves, and finally you get to the fruit. Why did God create the world in a way that most of the tree is tree, if the goal is fruit? 95% of the tree is tree. And you could ask the same question about life. 95% of life is preparation. It's not most people never even get to the goal. You go into an old age home and ask the average 80-year-old, how many of your goals in life did you achieve? Most people don't achieve their goals. Does that mean that they wasted their life? Now, if you think about it, Chag HaSukkot is Chag HaAsif. That is, we are happy that we have brought in all of the apples and the pears and the dates and the figs. But what happens if there's a drought and there's no fruit? And the chaklai, the farmer, spent an entire year planting and plowing and pruning and watering. The whole year he wasted if there's no fruit. Chevra, do you all see the problem? Let me make it even more serious. Look at your parents. Most of life is adult life. Most of adult life is preparation. Right? Your parents, they wake up. That's not an ideal. They get dressed. That's not an ideal. They eat breakfast. That's not an ideal. They go to work. That's not an ideal. Everything is... So where's the fruit? Do you all see the problem? You know what? Let's take somebody your age. You take the average 18-year-old in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You stop her in the street. You say, excuse me, can I ask you a couple of questions? I'm taking a survey. And she says, yeah, sure. And you ask her, where are you going? She says, I'm going to university. You ask her why. She'll say, to get a degree. You ask her why. She'll say, to get into grad school. You ask her why. She'll say, to get a job. So you think he got to the goal, right? You say, ah, so your goal in life is to get a job? She says, no. I get a job in order to make money. Why? Your goal in life is to make money? No. To buy food. Your goal in life is to buy food? No. To eat. Why? To live. By this time, when you ask her, why are you living? What are you living for? What is your goal? Most 18-year-olds will look at their watch and say, I'm sorry, you're asking too many questions. I gotta hurry to class. And most people never really think, what is their goal in life? And that's pretty tragic. Chevra, Bezrat Hashem, you'll all have children. And you should know that raising children is a lot of preparation. It's all preparation. Right? You go to the doctor to check on the fetus to make sure that he's healthy. And then the baby is born, and then you nurse him, and not to mention the backaches and the nausea of pregnancy. And then you take them to Gan, and then you take them to first grade, and there's PTA meetings, and you bring them to camp, and you bring them to the doctor, and you're bringing your kid. You know how many diapers every child has their parents change? Now, most of life is changing diapers, it's making the bed, it's going to work, it's getting dressed. Where is the taste of the tree? Because most of life is tree, it's not fruit. You all with me? You see the symbolism? In other words, to summarize, if 95% of life is preparation, is tree, and if I want to have taste in my life, if I want to have meaning in my life, the way to do it is to find taste in the preparations, in the tree, and not just to wait for the fruit. The question is how to do that. Kevra, you all with me? Let's see the Vilna Gaon, source number 12. The Vilna Gaon writes, Shtei mitzvot she'adam shalem nichnas ben bechol gufo. There are two mitzvot that a person goes into with all of his body. Hen sukkah ve'eretz Yisrael. This is exactly our topic. Sukkah and Eretz Yisrael are identical. How do you fulfill the mitzvah of Sukkah? You don't even have to sit. You can stand. You could sleep. You could not sleep. You could eat. You could twiddle your thumbs. You could be in a coma. And every second you are fulfilling a mitzvah in Sukkah. The only other mitzvah like that is Eretz Yisrael, where a person, every second that he is here, he is doing a mitzvah. Let me just clarify. Many of you people may know that to speak in the language of Eretz Yisrael, Lashon HaKodesh, every word is a mitzvah. I wrote a book on the topic. Many of you may know that even walking 4 steps in Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah. Planting a tree in Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah. Sweeping a floor in Eretz Yisrael, anything constructive, anything creative in Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah. Now notice, there's a guy in our yeshuv, passed away, his name was Chaim Sorek, and he did something really foolish. Never ride a dune buggy or motorcycle without a helmet. And at the age of 35, he turned over, I still remember, it was Erev Shabbat, and he got a very serious bang on the head, and he spent 7 years in a coma. He was a vegetable for 7 years. No more speech, no more. He was a very, very active person, a very religious person, always doing mitzvot. And one day I was walking with my wife, it was the first day of Sukkot, and we passed his house, and we saw his son wheeling him in his wheelchair into the sukkah. And you know, sometimes your eyes catch somebody's eyes. And we both thought the same thought. And his son actually said it. He said, finally there's a mitzvah that my father can still do, as he wheeled him into the sukkah. And then I mentioned to him the Vilna Gaon. And I said, your father lives in Eretz Yisrael. Every second, just like you could be in a coma, but if you're in a sukkah, every second is a mitzvah. So too, if you are even in a coma, the fact that he lives in Eretz Yisrael, every second of his life, he is doing a mitzvah. Yeah. Leah.
Yeah. First, like, technical, like, he can't actually walk, so how is it, like, Dalit on the sukkah?
How?
How is it, like, the Dalit, like, he's getting the Dalit on the
sukkah? Oh, in a sukkah?
No, in Eretz Yisrael.
Oh. I don't understand the question.
It's a mitzvah of walk.
Oh, this guy Chaim, you're right, he can't walk. That's true. That's a good question. If somebody wheels you, I don't know. But just being here, breathing. You know what, even if you hold your breath, every second you are in Eretz Yisrael, you could be twiddling your thumbs. You could be playing with your cell phone. However, playing with your cell phone can only be a mitzvah when you're in a sukkah or you're in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, your second comment. Okay, that's an interesting question. Trevor, why is a mikveh not on the list? The answer is, there's no mitzvah to be tahora. If you want to do A, B, or C, then you have to be tahora. If you want to be with your husband, you have to be tahora. If you want to eat truma, you have to be tahora. That's the main point, right? Here we're talking about mitzvot, where the very... It's not a preparation. It is the mitzvah. That's the point. Chevra, going to the army. Going to the army in most countries, is it a necessity or an ideal? It's a necessity, right? If a country doesn't have an army, the enemy will overrun them. In other words, it's treaty. It's not fruit. In Eretz Yisrael, there is a mitzvah to serve in the army. Just like speech. Speech in most places in the world is a necessity. It's not an ideal. It's tree. It's not fruit. But in Eretz Yisrael, where the language is Lashon HaKodesh, every word that you speak, you can ask your friend, Tavili bevakasha et hamelach, please pass me the salt. Every word is a mitzvah. Paying taxes in Eretz Yisrael, the Tzitz Eliezer says, has the halacha of tzedakah. Because where's the money going to? It's going to help the poor people. It's going for defense. It's going, chevra. Do you all see what the Vilna Gaon is saying? In Eretz Yisrael, there is taste in the tree just like in the fruit. Because, let's take an example. Say a person, the example that we gave, say a person is working the land an entire year, and there's a drought, and there's no fruit. Girls, you still have fulfilled the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. The Chatam Sofer points out that Boaz, do you remember Boaz from Megillat Rut? Boaz was a millionaire. All of the land belongs to him. All of the workers are coming to enjoy the Lekach Shikha and Peah because they're poor. He's wealthy. Where does Rut meet Boaz? Anybody remember? In the fields, in the silo. When? At night. The Chatam Sofer asks, why is Boaz, who's the head of the Sanhedrin, why is he working in the silo at night? I mean, he's a millionaire. He doesn't need the money. During the day, he's in the Sanhedrin. So why is he working? He doesn't need money. The Chatam Sofer answers, because he wants to do the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And again, there is taste in the tree just like in the fruit. Chevra, now you understand why the etrog is the symbol of Chagas Sukkot. Because the etrog is the last remnant of the ideal world where there was taste in the tree just like in the fruit. We now understand why Eretz Yisrael, and just like Am Yisrael is Pesach, Shavuot is obviously Torah Yisrael. We now understand what the Abarbanel means when he says that Sukkot is Eretz Yisrael. Now let's take it on a higher level. Chevra, let's look in source number 9, where the Gemara in Masechet Sukkah tells us about Simchat Beit HaShoeva. Anybody ever hear of Simchat Beit HaShoeva? There was a circus in the Beit HaMikdash. Tanya, Amru Alav Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, Kshaya Sameach Simchat Beit HaShoeva, Haya Notel Shmone Avukot Shel Ur, V'Zorek Echad V'Notel Echad, V'Eino Godzo Bazu. Juggling. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, the head of the Sanhedrin, put on a juggling act, juggling 8 burning torches in the Simchat Beit HaShoeva on Sukkot. Chevra, when I prepared the shiur, I looked up in Wikipedia, what is the world record for juggling burning torches? 7. In other words, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, he practiced a long time, right? Why would the Gadol Ador practice juggling just for to make people happy on the holiday of Sukkot in the Beit HaMikdash? Not only that, doesn't it sound sacrilegious to have a circus in the Beit HaMikdash? By the way, the Gemara goes on and says that he also performed acrobatics. Can you imagine the Lubavitcher Rebbe putting on a juggling act and doing acrobatics in the Beit HaMikdash? Chevra, on Chag HaSukkot, the idea is that also the physical is holy. In Eretz Yisrael, the physical, when you get dressed, when you walk, when you talk, when you pay taxes, when you go to work, it is not just tree, but it is tree that has taste. Because everything in Eretz Yisrael is holy. I don't know if you people have thought of it. A lot of people, when they go through a door before Corona, they kiss the mezuzah, right? Now, during Corona, it's a problem, but do you know that in Eretz Yisrael, the buildings are also holy? You can go like this. Don't worry about Corona. The apples are holy. The avocados are holy. Everything is holy. In other words, just like in Sukkah, even the mundane, even the secular is holy, that is the key to understanding what Eretz Yisrael is about. When you people came here, I don't know if you people realized, like the Chatam Sofer says, you are now in a holy planet where everything is different. You're walking, you're eating, you're whatever you do is Kodesh. Yes, Leah. Okay, any other questions or comments? I hope you have a deeper understanding now also of Chag Sukkot and also of Eretz Yisrael. Chag Sameach.